This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
Our port health officers in all the 32 points of entry are well trained, and we are able to monitor any kind of outbreak that may be at the border level.
That was Mary Molani, Principal Secretary at the Kenya Health Ministry, on steps being taken to contain a case of mpox detected Wednesday. Details coming up also. A military court in the DRC has sentenced 25 people, including the leader of a rebel coalition, to death. And floods worsen situation for Sudan's displaced people. These stories and more on African News Tonight. We start with our top story. Health officials are warning of a widespread outbreak of mpox cases in 16 African countries, raising concern over the risk of it spreading to more areas across the continent. From the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, Ruben Chama reports.
Speaking during an online news briefing late Thursday, health experts with the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or Africa CDC, said mpox cases are spreading. Jean Kaseya is the Director General of Africa CDC.
We have currently 16 countries affected in 2024, and also we have 18 countries that are at high risk to be affected. The mode of transmission, it's mostly the contact with people who are infected or animals infected.
The Africa CDC is a continental public health agency of the African Union, which supports countries in their efforts to strengthen health systems and improve surveillance and emergency response. Kaseya gave more details.
We have this sexual transmission. Mostly people who are having multiple sexual partners are having risk factors to get mpox. We are also discussing the correlation with HIV, because in some countries, most of people with mpox disease are HIV positive. In a number of cases, people having malnutrition.
The World Health Organization, WHO, says the African region is experiencing an unprecedented increase in mpox cases, with more countries previously unaffected by the disease reporting cases in the past few months. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says there have been more than 22,000 suspected cases and more than 1,200 suspected deaths reported in the Democratic Republic of Congo since January 1, 2023. Four countries, Burundi, Kenya, Rwanda and Uganda, previously unaffected by mpox, have reported cases since mid-July this year. Burundi, Rwanda and Uganda sit on the eastern border of DRC, where some of the reported cases are believed to have originated from. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, which accounts for more than 90% of the reported cases, a new variant that emerged in September 2023 is circulating in its eastern region. Again, Jean Kaseya.
One of the reasons that can explain this increase is the socio-political crisis. The eastern part of DRC, where all cases to Rwanda, to Uganda came from, this eastern part of DRC is affected by the insecurity. That one is driving also the increase of cases.
Previously known as monkeypox, mpox is an infectious disease caused by a virus transmitted from animals to humans, with cases often found close to tropical rainforests where there are animals that carry the virus. The disease can also spread from humans to humans through close physical contact, and in some cases, it can be fatal. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued a health alert notice, or HAN, this week about the mpox outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Since January 2023, the DRC has reported the largest number of yearly suspected clade 1 mpox cases on record. Cases in Africa have surpassed 15,000 this year. The World Health Organization is considering calling mpox a global health emergency. U.S. CDC virologist Dr. Christy Hudson, who studies mpox, describes to VOA's Carol Van Dam how mpox spreads and talks about whether health experts are concerned that mpox may spread to other continents.
It is in the orthopoxvirus genus, which most people know about variola virus because it caused smallpox. So it was in the same genus as monkeypox virus. And unlike smallpox, mpox is a zoonotic virus, meaning there's a reservoir, probably a small animal in Africa that spreads this virus. And so then you have spillover from the animal reservoirs into people. We first discovered this virus, or it was first identified in 1970 in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. So it's been around for many years. And since then, there have been periodic outbreaks across Africa, primarily in the West countries, and that's where clade 2 is. And then in the Central African countries is where clade 1 is. So they both they're geographically separated, and they're also genetically distinct from each other.
Now, before you go on, why don't you describe what clade 1 and clade 2 is?
Sure. So what we refer to as the subtypes, if you will. So monkeypox virus has clade 1 and clade 2. It's the two subtypes. They're genetically very, very similar. But interestingly, they are geographically separate. And there are a little bit of genetic diversity between the two clades, and we see typically a higher morbidity and mortality in more people infected with clade 1 in endemic countries compared to clade 2. However, as we saw during the 2022 outbreak, which was due to clade 2, there certainly can be severe infections and even deaths, particularly in immunocompromised individuals that are infected with clade 2.
A lot of these cases are in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Can you talk about that and what other countries it has spread to?
So the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or DRC, as I mentioned, the first case was in 1970. We've seen a steady rise in cases through the years since smallpox eradication ceased. And so we think that probably there's multiple factors at play here, one of which is the cessation of the smallpox vaccination. And so you have populations that now have no immunity to orthopox viruses. Additionally, there's more interactions between the animals and the people. So either way, there's been a steady increase in cases observed within the DRC. But in 2023, there was a drastic increase that was observed. And so that really sparked a lot of concern by multiple agencies and groups, including the CDC. And we put out the first HAN, or Health Alert Network, in December 2023. And so since then, we've been working actively with our in-country partners and also other U.S. government partners to try to support the country to deal with this outbreak and to hopefully decrease morbidity and mortality, and also ideally stop it from spreading elsewhere. And
it's spread to Burundi, Rwanda, Uganda, is just to name a few.
Yes, so we have seen spread in recent months. So there's in the HAN, we talk about the endemic countries where we've seen clade 1 cases outside of DRC, so Republic of Congo and Central African Republic. And then on the east side of the country, which is where we've seen an uptick in cases in South Kivu and North Kivu, there's been spread to Rwanda, Burundi, and Uganda, as you just mentioned, and there's one case in Kenya.
Is the CDC worried that this mpox is going to spread even outside the continent, maybe even come to the United States?
At this point, we consider the risk very low. There's very few travelers from those countries to the United States. And there's also some really nice modeling work that suggests that if we do start getting clade 1 circulating, the risk of a large outbreak is low. However, we want to make sure that individuals traveling to DRC are aware of this outbreak, know what sort of situations could put them at increased risk, and then also make those back in the United States aware so that clinicians can still be looking for mpox. So we want to make sure clinicians are still looking for this disease.
Dr. Christy Hudson, a virologist who studies Mpox with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. She was speaking to VOA's Carol Van Dam from Atlanta, Georgia. A military court in the Democratic Republic of Congo has sentenced 25 people, including the leader of a rebel coalition, to death. The Associated Press reports that Corneille Nangaa, the leader of the alliance, Fleuve Congo, or AFC, was found guilty of war crimes, participation in an insurrection, and treason. The AFC is a political military movement launched in December with the aim of uniting armed groups, political parties, and civil society against the DRC government. Its members include the M23, an armed group accused of mass killings in eastern Congo's decade-long conflict. Nangaa and most of those convicted were tried in absentia and are not in the custody of the DRC. More than 100 militant groups are fighting in the eastern DRC, producing one of the world's worst humanitarian crises. The United Nations Refugee Agency warns seasonal rains and severe flooding in war-torn Sudan are worsening the plight of thousands of displaced people in dire need of humanitarian aid. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Heavy rains and flooding have upended the lives of tens of thousands of people in Sudan this year, displacing, injuring, and killing many. The United Nations Refugee Agency reports torrential rains and floods over the past 2 weeks are having a devastating impact on the lives of thousands of refugees and internally displaced who have fled the more than year-long civil war in Sudan. UNHCR spokesperson Olga Sarada says more than 11,000 people in the eastern Kassala state are in desperate straits. They include displaced people hosted by the local communities and many families who recently fled from violence in Sennar state.
Some have been displaced 3 or 4 times already since the start of the conflict. They have lost their belongings, including food rations, and are facing significant challenges in accessing clean water and sanitation facilities, increasing the risk of waterborne diseases.
The International Organization for Migration reports more than 10 million people have become displaced inside Sudan since war broke out in mid-April 2023, and 2 million more people have sought refuge in neighboring countries. The UNHCR reports Sudan continues to host around 1 million refugees and asylum seekers from other countries. Serrato says the UNHCR is pre-positioning items and kits in the eastern and western parts of the country where more rainfall is expected. She says flooding in the Darfur region is causing particular concern, as this will further limit the ability of aid agencies to reach thousands of destitute people.
The humanitarian needs are reaching epic proportions in the region as hundreds of thousands of civilians remain in harm's way, and famine has been recently confirmed in a displacement site, as you all know. Conflict has already destroyed crops and disrupted livelihoods. The climate crisis is making those displaced even more vulnerable now.
Serrato explains people are unable to grow their crops and graze their livestock when the land becomes flooded. She warns this will cause hunger to surge, especially in areas where conflict is hampering humanitarian aid from reaching people in desperate need. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America. Find us on voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. I'm your host, Yehias Wuhib, in Washington. The U.S. ratings agency, Fitch, downgraded Kenya's credit rating today following the president's decision to scrap key measures of a controversial finance bill in the face of strong public opposition. Kenyan President William Ruto canceled planned tax increases in late June after initially peaceful rallies by those opposing the measures turned violent, leaving more than 20 people dead and the country's parliament ransacked. Ruto's decision to withdraw the controversial tax measures failed to quell the protests, leading him to fire almost his entire cabinet 2 weeks later and replace ministers with a broad-based government that included four heavyweight opposition politicians. Despite these steps, Fitch said Friday that the risk of prolonged social unrest remains, significantly complicating the environment for fiscal consolidation and presenting downside risks to economic activity. A lower credit rating can mean countries pay higher interest rates when they borrow money. Congressional Republicans closely align with presidential nominee Donald Trump on a number of key foreign policy issues, including U.S. support for Israel. But as VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports, lawmakers still have significant differences on China, tariff policy, and aid to Ukraine that could complicate a second Trump term.
Former President Donald Trump meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu last month.
No president has done what I've done for Israel, and we've always had a very good relationship.
Trump has previously criticized Netanyahu for security failures he claims enabled the October 7th Hamas attack. Unpredictability was a hallmark of Trump's foreign policy while in office. One analyst told VOA the Republican Party's 2024 foreign policy platform reflects that. Chris Tuttle is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations.
There are not a ton of specifics. That gives him the advantage of being able to shape a policy in a way that he sees fit in the moment rather than getting locked into policies at the outset of a term.
Trump's fellow Republicans claim the social media app TikTok is controlled by the Chinese government and can be used to access user information and influence political beliefs. Republican Senator Mitt Romney.
I do not want the Chinese Communist Party getting personal data about our citizens, nor being able to have algorithms that would propagandize the American public.
But Trump reversed his position on banning TikTok this year.
We're going to save TikTok. They want to destroy TikTok. So all of the people on TikTok vote for Trump.
Trump has also criticized NATO, claiming member countries do not pay their fair share for the common defense. His running mate, vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance, has been even more critical of the United States sending aid money to Ukraine.
But let's not mistake the courage of the Ukrainian troops on the ground with the fact that they have the most corrupt leadership and corrupt government in Europe, and maybe the most corrupt leadership anywhere in the world.
That is in direct opposition to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who has argued aid to Ukraine is essential to defending democracy in Europe.
It's no longer a settled question that America will meet aggression with overwhelming force, or even that we'll back our allies 100%.
Analysts say Trump's calls to raise tariffs if he is elected to a second term could cause the most conflict with Republican lawmakers. Gordon Gray is a former U.S. ambassador and now a professor at the George Washington University.
It shows the transformation of the Republican Party since 2016, because the Republicans historically have been free traders.
Trump has pledged to introduce at least 60% tariffs on China and 10% tariffs on imports from other countries if he is reelected. Catherine Gibson, VOA News.
And now time for our Olympic roundup, and our VOA sports analyst and host of our Olympics podcast, Chasing Gold, Mokbele Baro, is in studio. Thanks for being with us, Mokbele.
Thanks for having me, Hayes.
So there was a huge, huge win for Botswana in the men's 200 meters yesterday. Can you tell us about it and what it means for sprinting in Africa's moving forward?
Absolutely. So if we're just looking at the 200 meters, this was a race that many had predicted Noah Lyles to win. He was in a quest for the double, which has not been done since Usain Bolt, Jamaica's Usain Bolt, who has been dominating the 100 and the 200 for the last, what was it? He had a reign of about three Olympics.
It seems like forever.
Right. It seemed like it was forever. Yeah. And then this was also the first time that an American has also won in the 100 meters since Carl Lewis, I believe. Mm-hmm. No, he was trying to double, I should say, since Carl Lewis was unable to get the double done, came in third place. But who came in number one is the storyline here. Letsele Teboho, the 21-year-old sprinter from Botswana. This is not a country that is known for sprinting, let alone that 200 meter, which is one, is the second fastest type of sprint. So like he said, he mentioned when he was asked if he believes that he is the face of the athletics at the moment, he said that in kinder words, that he is not the face because maybe he doesn't have that type of a persona. But I believe what he wanted to say is that, you know, he lets his, he's not so much of a showman, but he lets his game or his race talk for him. So we will be watching him very closely. Letsehe Teboho, a phenomenal run, gold medalist for the 200 meters.
And in honor of Letsele Teboho, I hear it's a national holiday in Botswana today.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's the afternoon off has been given by the president in basically congratulations to the young man and what he's been able to showcase to the world about their country, Botswana. Beautiful.
And Mokwil, now to basketball. The Nigerian women's Olympic basketball team made it to the quarterfinals but lost to the U.S., 88-74. What does that mean for basketball on the continent?
Firstly, you know, we spoke about this yesterday, you know, for them to be able to make it to the furthest point that we've seen thus far on the men or the women's side going to the quarterfinals for an African team in the Olympics is such a historic feat for the Tigres, as they call themselves, the women's Nigerian Olympic team. But what we've seen is that they really had so much resilience and so much fight. At one point, the U.S. was up about 30 points, and they kind of tried to just coast all the way. Could have been easy for them to just really give it up, but they actually outscored the U.S. team in the fourth quarter, trying to make it down so that they made that lead down to 14 points is what they lost to. But more importantly, what does this mean for basketball on the continent? We've seen initiatives like the BAL, and they have the BAL for her as well for a women's initiative on the continent. So it's only upside from here. The more eyes that we get on sports, on athletics, on, you know, so many different sporting events, it's only going to get better for the continent.
And to boxing now, Mokbil. Iman Khalif, the Algerian boxer, will compete for boxing gold. Can she get it done, especially with all the noise surrounding her competing at the Olympics?
You know, so initially she kind of came on the scene on social media when she ended up beating the Italian boxer Karina with two punches in about 45 seconds.
Wow.
You know, and then the conversation started stirring around whether or not, you know, she was a biological woman because she's had issues with a, you know, I guess a hormone issue and higher elevated levels of testosterone. But the Olympics committee has said that no, she is biologically a woman, so she should be able to compete against the women. But imagine the type of scrutiny that that does to you. It puts you in a different mindset. Not only do you have to compete in a brutal sport like boxing, but you have all of these people questioning you and thinking about these things. Now she's going to be competing for Algeria in the finals later on today. So, you know, we'll see what she does. We will know that she will be medaling for Africa, right? Algeria will be getting at least a gold or a silver medal.
And lastly, the U.S. Olympic team beat Serbia 95-91 after a huge comeback. It was a nail-biter. Can you tell us a little about that
game? At one point, Serbia was up by 17 points. They have Nikola Jokic, who is arguably one of the best centers of all time. It was very interesting to see the U.S. team rally up against them. Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Joel Embiid were very impactful in that comeback win. They will be playing France in the finals.
And with that, we wrap up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yeheyus Wuhib in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Mokwil Yabaro, and our engineer, Rob McLean, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.